like a cell group here by the kerk. But we're a bit too big for small groups, so you're going to have to listen to me. Sorry. But afterwards, we'll have coffee and you can have small group. Rudy, can you just a little bit lig, asseblief? Thank you. That's it. Okay, interestingly enough, the message that I have on my heart for tonight is a message that I more or less teach on about 2 years ago and the year before that, also on Easter weekend. And I just brought it before God prayerfully and applied it to us, because this is really something that I cannot get over when I think about the power that's in Jesus. And every year around this time, this runs through my mind. And I know this will help you tonight. This message is called Five Victories for Every Believer. And you know, I like to make things practical. So we can say, onthou waaroor Paasfees reg te gaan, or remember what Christmas is really about. So tonight, Warren, is this thing going to give me problems? Can we just organize another one if that's possible? Awesome. So what I want to do is I want to bring to the table how the fact that Jesus is risen will change your life. But in practical examples, not something up there in the air, but I want to give it names and I want to talk through it. And so I'm going to touch on five specific victories that comes for every believer because Jesus died. Rudy, can you ons daai waaier afsit asseblief? Sorry, ek jaag hier rond. Great. Want hy waai hier my oor in. Awesome. I also want to say, sometimes it's a bit of a sensitive issue, especially if you start your relationship with Christ, but you've been around church for quite a long time, and now you really, something happens, you receive Him. Then, I don't know who's that happened to, but you start to question a bit the relevance of specific Christian days. Who's had that thought before? You're like, okay, so previously I only thought about God on Christmas, or maybe when I was looking for chocolate in the garden, but now I love Him every day. So is this specific day still relevant? That's a good question. You know what? If it reminds us to worship God through different stuff that He did, because you know what? It's not possible to preach the whole Bible every Sunday. So if it helps us get through different topics in the Bible, it can be a good thing. If we're only reminded about God when it's those days, it's a stupid thing, all right? Because then we worship these specific days, not the God of the days. But to be honest, like, Jesus is not born in December to start off with, so that's all wrong. Same with Easter. But that doesn't take away the fact that Jesus died and rose. And for us, it's a good time to talk about it. And that's what we're going to do tonight. Does that make sense? Awesome. So I want you to quickly read with me, and then we'll take it from there. Let's go slowly. Ephesians 1 verse 18. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you. Okay? That part is important. This is what is to come now in the next verses. Having your eyes enlightened, Paul is saying, I want you to understand what you are called to. I want you to understand what God is giving you, what's coming your way. And then he elaborates on this thing. He says, and I want you to know what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward those who believe, according to the great might. Now he changes his tone. He says, according to the working of His great might, that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. Okay? The same might, the same power that worked in Christ as He was risen from the dead, all right? That is the measure of power and the measure of greatness, which is actually immeasurable, which God dispenses towards us. Okay, so He draws a massive, draws to a point, and He says, that same power is now given to you. It is far above every rule, all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he goes on in verse 22, and he says, and he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church. Okay. That's a mouthful, but just bear with me for a second. Okay. The resurrection of Jesus, okay, the fact that Jesus rose from the dead marks the victory over every evil thing or every power imaginable. All right? Everything, anything you can find in your mind, which is bad, evil, okay, which brings depression, death, loneliness, or anything that basically just sucks, okay? Jesus has got all those stuff under his feet, all right? And that is a measure of power given to us so that we can rule over evil and not be ruled by evil. And that's very important. If I just can take a step back for a moment. Some of you started your relationship with the Lord recently, and some of you a while back. And some of you will still. That's amazing. But when you meet Jesus, there's something in your heart. You're like, okay, what is going to happen now? But there's a stirring in you. You're connected with eternity. From that moment, the moment you give your heart to Jesus, something registers. You don't know what it is. You don't know what's going to happen next. You're not sure what he wants from you, but there's a hope imparted in you. Who knows what I'm talking about here? Something starts. You just know it will be okay. All right? And there's also a sense of cost that's important in your spirit. You just know you will do anything to have a relationship with God. All right? It gets important into our spirits. We all know that you don't just go on with your life, right? It's not like an angel comes to you and says, Rudy, gaan jy net aan soos jy aangaan, maar as iemand op Facebook post, if you are really a Christian, you must repost this. Then make sure you repost it. That's what it means to be a Christian. Or if you like, that means you like Jesus. If you don't like, it means you like the devil. Just allow me to have a bit of an anger rage here. I hate those things, to say it straight. Don't partake in it. Don't repost it. Don't like it. Tell the person they're wasting their time. Any case, there's my rage. Is anyone offended? Anyone wants to go? Okay. We know it's not about posting likes and stuff. We know it's about living a life and follow Jesus, right? But this is the problem. For everyone that comes to Christ, okay, he wants you to change radically, have a new life, okay, where this immeasurable power actually comes and works in your life. And then there's this moment when your breath is away. You're like, but I cannot do this. I don't know if I am able to live for God. Who's felt like that somewhere in the life of God? Okay? Good. Because you can't. You can't change your life. You can't change your circumstances. You don't have the authority within yourself to reign over evil. So if you feel overwhelmed, very good. But God can come and do it through you with the power of the cross that we just celebrated with communion, all right? There's something given to us that makes us victorious when we plug into Christ. Without that, we are nothing, all right? And that's where we are heading today. I'm going to talk through 5 things. And you will be tempted with these things. Not one person excluded. All right? There's going to come 5 attacks against your life, against your faith. Directly or indirectly. It's going to come and touch you personally, your family, your marriage, your abilities at work, your joy, your peace, your finances. When it touches you at your inner being, it touches you everywhere. You will receive each of the following temptations. And you might be victorious over each one of them, or you might fail in all of them. Right? You may have victory over four out of the five. But let me tell you what, if one area remains an open target, your faith will transgress and you will lose ground. He will take another one of the five, another one of the five, until you feel backslidden. Okay? Now, I'm not giving too much power to these temptations. What I am saying is they are created to kill your faith by the devil. All right? They're not created to make you stumble. They're created to make you die in your spirit. But God rose Christ from the dead, right? Which means resurrection power means that if God comes and you submit to him in each of these areas, you get a score 100% and you're just victorious over it. Done, done. Okay? In Christ, if you are submitted to him, you will be victorious. All right. Are you ready? I'm going to start with the gloves off. Okay? I'm not going to hold back on the first one. Are you ready? Sê vir die ouetjie langs jou as jy wakker. Sê vir die ou langs jou jy tande geborsel. Okay. As jy nie jou tande geborsel het, jy moet nie te hard sê amen nie. Okay? Awesome. Victory number one. Okay. And I want to just declare this again. Each of these victories belongs to you. That's why Christ came. All right? That is what makes you different than someone that does not yet know God. That's why they will come and experience the saving power of Jesus through your life. Because you have a victory that they actually long for. And that's why it's important for me that we, as friends and as a congregation, as accountability partners in this church, that we are brutally honest with one another and that we really love one another to have victory in these areas. Amen? Okay, let's go slowly. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. Okay, don't tap out because there's a big word. Sanctification in Afrikaans. Zinta, what did we have last time? I said heiligmaking. Did you have another one? Okay. Sanctification just means there's a process in which you become more and more and more like Christ. Okay? That's sanctification. That you will abstain from sexual immorality. I'm not going to explain that. All right? That each of you know how to control his own body in holiness. Very, very interesting. That each one of you know how to control his own body. I always make this joke. So I'll keep it short this time. But you can't help love. It just happens. That's nonsense, all right? Bible says you control your own body. You rule over your heart, right? Because otherwise, every married couple is in trouble. For what happens if one of them falls in love with another person? I can't help it. Heart wants what it wants. No, that's not true. It's a lie. Okay? You can rule and reign over it. But it's interesting what it also says here. You can only control your own body. Right? Which means you should never be placed in a position where you must control your own body and someone else's body. You can only have, with God's help, a control and a conviction about what you do with your body. Right? Which makes it very clear which type of person you should be in relationship with. Someone pushes your boundaries, by the way. You cannot control their body, tell them what to do. You can only tell your own body what to do, which means you should exit that relationship. Okay? I'm going ahead of myself, but let's unravel it as we go. Okay, carrying on. Not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. That no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you. That's better. Okay, awesome. Are you still with me? Sorry for that. Let's just go back to slide number 6, please, Steph. Okay. Very interesting to note here that you abstain from sexual immorality. I want to use an example here just to put sexual sin in a very specific box. I'm not scared to talk about it, so please don't feel you're getting warm in your neck or whatever. We talk about things here straight because this is where we must do it. Amen? Okay. If you talk about, for example, alcohol, all right? Each one of us had a different relationship with alcohol before we met the Lord, or we still have different relationship with alcohol. Now, for me in my life, there's many ways in which I sinned before I met the Lord, but I was, my whole life, never, I was never drunk. Because my dad, he took enough for both of us, all right? So I just felt, I'm not going to drink. When I met the Lord, okay, I still don't like alcohol enough, a lot. I still don't feel cravings to have a beer or whatever. I like milkshake more. So I don't have a specific spiritual radar when it comes to alcohol. If it's a wedding and there's a bit of champagne, I'll have some. Or if I don't feel like it, I won't have some. That is something that, in biblical terms, you don't necessarily have to abstain from. All right? Are you with me? But there is a case where you maybe had an abusive relationship with alcohol when the Lord tells you, please don't use alcohol ever again in your life. And some of you have received that word. Who's received a word like that? Can I just see? Is there anyone here? One, two, three. Okay, so that means for you, be obedient to God. He spoke to you. He's helping you. Show the world you've got victory. You don't need it. All right? But for me, if I take two sips of a beer, I had enough. Then I'm asking myself, why do people like it? All right? But the same principle is not true for sexual immorality. Are you with me? One person can't receive a word from God that it's okay for me to be a bit involved in a sexual activity, which I know is not right. But for that person, he shouldn't be involved. Okay, there's absolute abstinence. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's not a measurable, it's not something, you can use wine in a way that glorifies God, if I can say it that way, all right? You can. The way, if you're there, a father with your kids, you can teach them about it, they can taste it, you can say, that's it, all right? There's a way that can honor God. You cannot use sexual immorality in any way, in a way to glorify God. It's something we stay away from very far, to protect us, our future wives and husbands. Does that make sense? Okay, so that's the first thing that we hear about this. It's very straight, and this is just amazing because it helps us. It helps us that we know this so that we can prepare our lives, our bodies, and our hearts for what God has for us in marriage. Amen? Okay, so there's no darkness around it, and I think this is amazing. Okay, let's go on to the next slide quickly. Let's skip that one. Okay, so the first one, let's go to your first victory, is that he wants to give you victory over sexual temptation. Now, let me just say this. Who, and we'll talk more about this in Relationship Month, in May month. Who designed sex? God designed sex, right? Does God like the idea of sex? Yes. Does he want it to be great? Yes, he made it, for crying out loud. He's not confused, okay? And so he says, I'm going to give this thing a place which it is 100% suited in marriage. And as soon as people step into marriage and partake in this thing that I've designed, I'm going to bless it, that they will be absolutely in a place of contentment with it and they will enjoy it, all right? That's God's heart. Now, what the enemy wants to do, we're talking about temptation. A temptation is something that comes to you that helps you to fail. All right? That's what a temptation is. It's a test from the enemy, and the intention is that you may fail. Now, God also tests us, but when God tests us, it's also always that we may succeed. That's the difference between a test and a temptation. All right? Now, the enemy can start to chip away at your marriage 10 years before you are married. by helping you to fail while you are single. All right? He helps you slowly but surely to dishonor marriage by sexual immorality. Okay? This is very hard, it's very straight, but it's the truth. Okay? So, if you think, the other day I heard a guy on a, you know I like Survivor, okay? So the one guy on Survivor, he's like, I'm a guy, I'm a woman's man, you know, I get what I want from women, da-da-da. I'm not a good guy, but when I'm settled down, I'm going to find me an angel, okay? That's what he says, okay? The problem is, everything I do with my life is I sow a seed into an area. Okay, so what I say is, and please don't feel condemned if you're in a place where you must get out of, you will get out of it. Amen? That's what we're talking about here tonight. If you engage, or a friend, we all know someone, maybe it's ourselves, in a sexual immoral relationship, what we are saying is, I'm sowing a seed. God, I don't trust your plan for marriage. Next time, I'm sowing that seed. Lord, I don't trust your plan for marriage. Your plan is not the best. But then one day I get married and I say, God bless me. Bless this marriage. And then that first few weeks of marriage, all those seeds come up that I sowed. And people that live together the longest marry the shortest after they get married. Okay? Now, I'm not speaking anything bad over everyone. What I'm saying is, Jesus is here to lift you up. In the same way that your sexual life, okay, your body, for you might be in the grave. It is dead. It's done. You have lost it. God can raise it up in the same way He raised up Christ. All right? That is the power that we are dealing with here tonight. Prepare the way. Make straight the path for Him. Let the King of Glory enter in. How do you do that? You say, Lord, I am in the grave in this area. I'm not even in the grave, ek is kompos, okay? I've messed up so much. I've got nowhere to go. I look to you and you turn your heart to God. You go to someone that's a counselor or a mentor in church and you honest. You say, I'm going to change. You get your accountability partner. You give it to God. You break bread together and you see God resurrect your heart. He can do it. And He's done it in this church more than once. He's done it in my life. All right? So, if you are in a place where you at the moment have victory in this area, my message to you is this. Don't think lightly of it. Okay? Always. All right? Even if you are married, okay, you still need to be victorious over sexual temptation until the day you die. This battle, all of these, it will never leave us until we die. Why? Because God is gathering for Himself an army on earth, not a bunch of losers. Okay? We're not saved now, we sit around. We're saved now, we are training for war. How do we train for war? By beating the enemy, different types of enemy. This one is called sexual immorality. You beat him, well done. You do great. All right? And you're not alone. Because I'm telling you, I don't care who you are. Everyone will be tempted by this. And it comes from far. It's a thought, something you see on the TV. It's something you hear on the radio. And then it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. But it doesn't matter who you are. You do get those arrows. Done deal. You may be very good at keeping them far away because you dismiss them. Well done. But they also land on your field. All right? Make sense? There is victory for me. Okay. Awesome. Because He rose, God can heal this area. This is, I like talking about this, and I'll tell you why. Because no one can tell me, yeah, you weet, ek is eintlik gewaarheid nie. You lie. Okay? Especially if you're the age that our church represents, okay? But I want to say this before I step off. Being sexually active in God's way is intended from God, designed, He wants it. In fact, if a married couple does not engage in intimacy, they're probably in sin. Okay? It's designed to keep marriage amazing and fresh and blessed. So start sowing those seeds while you are single right now. Okay? And you're going to reap a harvest. Amen? Awesome. Let's go on. Victory number two. And He told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. It's probably because he had so much meat that already took all the place, you know, of the barn, so he didn't have place for the veggies. You know what I'm saying? In any case, I'm talking nonsense here. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and I will build larger ones. And there I will store my grain and my goods. Anything wrong up to that stage? I'll give you the answer, no. But check this out. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? Okay? Now, let's talk about money. Okay, we're taking all the big ones. Already talk about sex. Let's talk about money for a while. The problem with money will never be and has never been how much you have. Okay, please get that out of your mind. Sometimes we think, if someone have a lot of money, oh, they must watch out. The love of money, that's a problem. No. You can have minimal, okay, and have a big problem with money. You can have a lot of money and have trouble with money. You can have little and have no problem with money, be free, or you can have all the money in the world and it does not have a hold on you. It's got nothing to do with how much you have, all right? It's got to do with the place it takes in your heart. And I just want to say this straight. Every one of you, doesn't matter who you are here tonight, will be tempted by this. No doubt, no exceptions. You will be tempted to love money more than God. The arrows is right now hitting you, or it's coming. But it is coming because Jesus was tempted with it. All right, just after his baptism. I will give you all these kingdoms. Now, maybe you say, I don't like money, but you like the stuff it buys. All right, it's the same thing. The temptation is to love what I can get through my earnings more than Christ. All right, and it's a temptation for every pastor, every single member in church, every family member, doesn't matter who you are, you have to deal with it one way or the other. All right. Now, if the devil cannot get you to love him, he will get you to love money, all right? Now, let me just say this. Money might be the reason that many people never meet Jesus, okay? That might be a reason. Money will cause many people who have met Jesus to only follow Jesus partially and miss a big part of their calling. So it chips away. It doesn't matter where you are. Okay? Money will influence where you work, how you work, the hours you work. Money might determine whether you are a good husband or a bad husband. All right? It's all those things. It might determine what you live for, what you long for, what your heart beat for. All right? So let's just quickly do 1 Timothy 6 verse 10. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Okay? Let's just go on and read the next scripture as well. I've got a few scriptures there for you that you can read in your own time. And some of you have got Bibles with nice notes at the bottom. Read these things and read your notes, study through it. Matthew 19 says, again I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and they said, who then can be saved? And Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Okay? When I discovered, and like I said, these temptations comes again and again like arrows, and I have to deal with it every now and then in my own life as well, okay? But initially as I met Christ and I got a revelation, okay, in my heart, I get it gesnap, that I don't need money to change this world. I don't need the best position, the best studies. I don't need to outperform. I can just walk in who God made me to be. Massive weight fell off my shoulders. And I want to say to all of you here tonight, God owns the whole world. He doesn't need your money, and He doesn't need my money. But watch out that money steals your heart. Okay, we don't talk about it a lot in church, but we have to talk about it. Okay, you can say, Varys, but I don't have a lot of money. That's not, Warren, can we, is there another way? Sorry. But maybe is your cable long enough? Oh, awesome. Oh, it's the mic. Musical mics. It's happening tonight. Thank you. Awesome. Okay, so I want to challenge you, and I want to ask you to be so honest with yourself and pray a prayer with someone tonight. And say, listen, I waste my thoughts looking at my friend's car, and there's a moment where I think, how can I obtain that car? And it steals my heart there. I look at my friend's hair and I think, how can I have that lovely hair? Whatever it is, okay, it steals your thought, it steals your heart. Let it go. Okay? And with that, the enemy works like this. He wants you to get on a treadmill, a self-glorifying treadmill where it's all about you. If I look like this, what will my friends say? If I arrive in this vehicle, what will people think? They will think, at last it's going good with me. Okay? If I can get this phone, if I can get that car, okay, let it go. Okay? Because we're loading weights on our shoulders. That's just weighing us down, because I wake up in the morning and I don't have that car yet. All right, or I can't afford that holiday, and so I wake up already with two steps behind joy. Let it go. You've got everything you need to change this world. All right, I want to tell you something. Pastor Rick Warren, okay, he's probably the richest pastor in the world. I don't know, church doesn't pay him, he gives 90% of what he earns to the church, he lives on 10%. All right. He's got a bucky, 15 years old. That's how old it was in 2007 when I listened to the podcast. He's the one guy that can buy a new one every day. Okay, but he doesn't need to. All right? Now, please, if you've got a beautiful car, that's awesome. All I'm saying is take the weight off your shoulder to catch up to a standard that is put to you by the enemy. All right? You have what you have. God has given it to you. Great. Enjoy it. Ecclesiastes says that the man who works enjoys his wages. Enjoy what you have. Enjoy where you are in life. Enjoy who you spend your time with. Be grateful you can eat. Be grateful you have clothes on your body. All right? And let the pressure go of constantly catching up with the who's who. All right? Because it does put us on a treadmill and it gives us debt that we don't need. This is a thing that will come for each and every one of us. All right, I'm sorry I'm hammering on this. I am passionate about this because I need to fight this thing in my own life as well. And you need to fight that battle also in your life. Are you with me? So the key there is a victory over a self-glorifying life. It's a victory over how will people perceive me with this? Oh, how great I will be with this. All right? And so what it does is I can only shine, I've got one light given to me by God, okay? I can only shine a light on God, or I can change this thing around and I can shine a light on myself. Look at me. Okay? And the moment when I do that, look at me, I'm not showing people to Christ. I'm saying, look at me. But what can I do for people? I cannot save someone's life. I cannot intervene in their marriage. So in effect, when I do that, I am not loving. All right? I'm loving when I show people towards Christ, which means it's okay what I drive, it's okay how I look, as long as people see Jesus. That's the keys. Everyone with me? Everyone happy with that? Accountability partners, guys. Get there, talk about it, pray through it. Okay? This is very, we need to have this. This is not a no-go conversation. I'm saying this straight. If this is a no-go conversation, then it's too late. You should have had that conversation a year ago. With your accountability partner, this is a yes-go conversation. Amen? Awesome. Let's go on. Like I said, we don't have gloves on tonight. We're going flat out. Victory number three. We're going to pick up speed here. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word, and that's the key, in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit. All right? Now, the word affliction, it just means you received the word in adverse circumstances. You received the word within a trial. It was difficult to accept God at that moment. Or you might say, the last 2 months, I've accepted Christ last year, but the last 2 months have been so hard for my faith. I've been challenged in so many ways. You can just tap in with that verse, okay? For you received the word, or you held on to the word in much affliction. Okay, now, our faith is about overcoming and being victorious over stuff, all right? So as soon as you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you realize the way you live, you didn't have to think about it. It actually just happened. Oh, everyone does this. Everyone does this. You just go. There's no resistance to how you live. There's no conviction pulling you to live a certain way. You just go. Until you meet Christ and you realize, man, there's so many things in my life that needs to change. And sometimes it overwhelms us, but that's a good thing, okay? Because right now, that moment you receive Christ and you turn around, you see. To repent means to turn around. You see what lies ahead of you, all right? You see all these changes that must happen in your life, and it freaks you out. That's your battlefield right there. God's going to take you through every single thing. Every area that's in the ground, He's going to resurrect. Every giant you must overcome, you will overcome. Every mountain you will get over, okay? If you hold on to Christ, miracles will happen. In this sense, you can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You meet Him, you turn around. Oh, how am I going to do that? How am I going to say that person? I'm not going to live that way anymore. How are my friends going to perceive me? Whatever the challenge is, that's from God at that moment. He loves to see you win. And you will win with Christ, for Him. Because when you win, it's not going to be about shining a light on you. It's going to be about shining this massive torch on Christ. That's why I've changed. That's why I'm different. It's because of Jesus, okay? And there's some of you have made amazing decisions that cost you a lot of friendships, that probably for a moment cost you a relationship. But let me tell you what. I'm going to ask you something. Well, let me just say it. Some of you will say, yo, but it's so hard to follow Christ because I may lose friends. Forget about your friends for 1 second. You lose your own life. You lose yourself. You are gone. The Bible says, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. And the life I now live, I live with faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave Himself for me. It's Galatians 2:20, all right? Now, if you gave up your own life, your own dreams, your own plans for a future, let me tell you what, you're definitely going to have to give up some friends. But that's probably won't scare you. If you've given your life, then the peer pressure thing you've dealt with, because you've already lost everything. You are a dead man walking, okay? When it comes to this world, your flesh is dead. But you're eternally alive, okay? I want to say this. You will have trials in your faith. Please know that. But don't take the path of least resistance, okay? Because he died so that you can be victorious by doing the right thing. Doesn't matter how difficult it is. When I accepted him in university, I had a lot of flack. I took a lot of flack from guys. That now serves the Lord because I stood. Stand, okay? Don't fall. Even if the heat comes up, stand. You can do it. Hold on to him. Hold on to your family. This is your family now. This is the first group of people that defines you, okay? So when it gets rough outside, your hands and your feet is outside with the world, but your heart, your head, everything that gives spiritual life should be here, where you are loved, cherished, and cared for. Okay? So it doesn't matter what happened. Because he rose, there's an immeasurable amount of power given to you to overcome every obstacle that you must overcome in your faith. And that's amazing, seeing people stand for God. That's just amazing. Who's excited? Awesome. Check this out. Isaiah 59, verse 19. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Okay. Now, I want to take you a bit further. Beyond just facing the challenge. And I want to talk to your heart right now. When there's a challenge in your life and you are taking some spiritual flack, which might also include physical stuff, right? Because sometimes, I mean, there's not a clear division between our spirits and our bodies. It blends together. That's why God says we must rule over our bodies, over our finances, over this physical stuff, okay? Because when your spirit is changed, it's shown in the world. But now, when you receive affliction, okay, or a difficult time, or the loss of property or money or income, those things can also put you in a difficult situation. You may say, oh, but aartegoed. You know what? Aartegoed, your kid must eat, all right? And some of the parents will know what I'm talking about. So those things, something that starts on the outside, like whether you've got an income or not, or whether your car is working or not, those can also be the things that put you in a spiritual challenge. Are you still going to be faithful even though the heat is on from the outside? Okay? On the other hand, it can be internal. You can experience depression. You can experience immense grief for the loss of a loved one. Okay? So those trials can come from the outside or from the inside. But the first thing the enemy wants you to do is this. Ach, jy weet, is maar net ek, jong. Niemand gee om oor my nie. Ek is maar net hier, of vlieg teen die muur. Ek dink iemand gaan agterkom as ek intercession mis nie. Jy weet, is maar net ek. Niemand gee om as ek. He wants you to start moaning. Okay? Which helps to isolate yourself further. Because no one wants to be around a moaner the whole time. And then maybe you will want to hit your best friend, because he's the one that's going to come to you and say, rek yourself a slag reg. And then you'll say, yo, maar jy weet nie wat hier ek gaan nie. And, okay? But actually they're being a great friend at that moment. Okay? The first thing that will happen when the heat is on, moaning and groaning, just ask yourself, where are you at in your heart? Okay? Maybe you're still standing strong in your position in Christ, but you've started speaking negative stuff over yourself or over other people. Immediately stop it. Dead in its tracks. Don't talk negatively about yourself or someone else, because you know what? It's the first battle that the enemy wins before you tap out totally. Okay? When there is hope, it's much easier to take the battle. Much easier. When there's joy, it's much easier to be victorious. you get into a crowd with some people in the same situation, there's two guys saying, you know what, boys, we can do this. Let's trust in God. And suddenly you've got hope again. Check your own speech gauge and ask yourself, what is at the moment coming out of my mouth? Because you might still be in a good position obeying God, but watch your mouth. Because the next thing that comes is you stepping back. Okay. Make sense? It doesn't matter what the enemy brings against you, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift a standard against him. And that's amazing. So power, God's power is often seen in you when you stand, when everyone else is falling. And it's that, when someone, it's that time when someone at work will ask you, listen, how do you do that? What's in your heart? How do you... And you can say, listen, let's have coffee. Let me tell you what. I was for a moment so scared, but the Holy Spirit in me just spoke to me and said, listen, he's going to carry me through it. Can I pray for you also? You know, the fact that you stand when the heat is on opens up a testimony. Okay. And so the third point is endurance and courage in trials so that you do not fall away. Okay. Many people will fall away from the faith when the heat is on. Okay? So make sure you are positioned well. Make sure there's, like, figuratively speaking, a group of friends standing around you with their hands locked. And so when you go from one way to the other, there's always someone touching the edges. All right? Men and women of faith, they act with courage when they hear God speak. And the things that God tells them to do is often not the easiest thing. All right. Sometimes it's the hardest. And that's where faith comes in. But you never have to do it alone. All right. That's why we have a spiritual family. Everyone with me? Awesome. Almost done. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers. This is linear anywhere. But against rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Now, okay, that is a mouthful. Now, let me just say this straight up. We're going to talk quickly about demons, okay? Light fuss. You're dealing with them every day in any case. It's a point on its own, but it blends itself in victory number four into every area. Because every temptation, all right, every challenge to your faith comes through a spirit which is not of God, which we refer to as a demon. It's a messenger of Satan. Okay, now what that spirit does is he brings to you something on a platter. You know those restaurants, I don't like them, where it's like, oh, come to this restaurant, it's so amazing, and all the girls love it. And then they bring this plate, okay? It's a monster of a plate. And then there's somewhere a piece of meat on the plate, all right? And then there's a leaf of some kind, and they take, I think, something like balsamic glaze, and like... Yeah, there's your food. I'm like, where's the meat? Okay. Now, demons is a bit like that. They dress up a very bad thing as if it's so amazing. What does it help if you bring me a steak when it's one bite and it's tasty? Okay. Take me then to the spur and let's have a half a kilogram steak. Amen, Warren? Okay. Now, that's what evil spirit does. They dress up something to look amazing. Okay, there's a little blarky and mayonnaise, and they try to sell you a lie. Okay, now you are not subject to the lies of the enemy. Okay, you are given power to reign over them. Okay, what you must do, and we'll do shortly in a few weeks' time, we'll do a sermon on renewing your mind. What you need to develop as you read scripture and as you have Christian friends is the ability to hear, is this God speaking or not? Because when you hear a voice which is not God, immediately you must step up, shut the voice, and kick it out. Okay? So what is the kind of voices? We had a 4-week sermon series on hearing God's voice, so I'm not going to go in it straight, but let me just give you an example. If you have a thought that you're in love with that woman over there, and this is such amazing, there's one problem, but she's married, okay? Let me tell you what, it's not God speaking to you right now. It is an evil thought. Now, the same is true if you think, oh, luckily that woman is not married, I can have a relationship with her, but you are married, okay? Same problem, okay? Same problem. That is not God, okay? That is not God speaking to you. Now, the Bible says we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Your battle is not the person. The battle is something was given to you, okay? And the enemy, this thought, initially, okay, follow me here. Initially, this thought did not come from you. It come from, summarize it, the devil. Sends a messenger to come and tempt you. If you take what he gives you, if you take it, Rudy, get our cell phone for me, for all that, as a belief. Our cell phone. Okay, it's not mine. If I take it, and he intends to give it to me, it becomes mine. And this is now my phone, and this is now my problem. All right? Exactly the same when it comes to rulers and principles and principalities and demons speaking to you. It does not come from you. It gets brought to you on a plate. But when you take it, and especially believe it, it becomes yours. All right? And it has an immense effect on your calling and your relationship with God. All right? Does that make sense? Now, don't go in a panic. I just want to say demons is not fears, amazing spirits that you should awe and have a lot of respect for them. Okay? They are amazingly frightened of Jesus. Amazing. If you pray, they run, they get the shivers. If a real believer steps into a place, they run. Okay, they are scared creatures. Okay, but they love it when you make a home for them, because then they can stay and they feel they've got a legitimate right. But this is what Christ says. He says in Luke 10 verse 19, "Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall hurt you." Okay? Please say after me. I have the authority to step on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. All right, so you are not subject to what comes your way. You are given the right to rule over it. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. What comes to you can be controlled by you through the Holy Spirit. It means you are one powerful being because of Christ. You are powerful because He's in you. You've got the ability to take your heart to a place to be healed. You've got the ability to take your heart and mess it up. You've got the ability to give yourself a lot of pain. You've got the ability to bring your heart out of pain into healing and love. You are given so much power by God. It's just amazing. Okay? So, follow not your heart, the voice of God. And be faithful. See that miracles happen in your life. Some of you must take a step of faith in this place. And these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons and they will speak in new tongues. Now, sometimes you have to cast a demon out of yourself. Okay? It doesn't mean you're possessed or there's something weird. It just means there's something speaking to you that should not be speaking to you. Like, how does it sound? Something like this. You permanently hear you fat, even if you're as skinny as Sunette. Okay? All right? There's not a size for sunnet. There's no such thing. But you still believe you are overweight. That's a demon. Goodbye. There you go. You will never talk to me like that again. I bind you and I send you to where Jesus sends you. Holy Spirit, you've made me the way I am. You affirm yourself. Thank you for who I am. That's how you cast a demon out of yourself. Whether it's, ach, you weet alweer ek in my hare, of my nails, or wat ook al. Whatever the thing is that keeps on your back, just cast it out so you can live a life and go have a milkshake. Okay? He loves you a lot. So, you can be changed, talking about the power of the resurrection. Okay? You can be changed and influenced by demons, or you can step on them. Your decision. Promise you, every time it's your decision. When that thought comes, you can step on it, or you can bend under it with fear. All right? Demon can come in and influence you, and you can welcome them, or you can cast them out. Yo, my Akvidiuni, it's easy. You just say, go. You that's telling me right now that I am fat, you will go in the name of Jesus. You right now that gave me this fearful thought about the mission, going on missions and maybe a bit scared, you that gave me that fearful thought right now, the Bible says God has not given me a spirit of fear. That's not God. You will go now in the name of Jesus. One of the areas of victory, and this is so amazing, we don't talk about this a lot, enough, is number four, is victory over demons and evil spirits. The same authority that Jesus had on earth becomes ours. Okay? And just as he defeated death and every demon, he says, now you go and do good works, casting out demons. Isn't that amazing? Now you may think, that's what I think, just before I gave my heart to the Lord, I was so scared of these things. I said, just leave me out of it. I don't want to talk about these things. Let me tell you what, you're already in it. I'm sorry to break the news. Okay? You don't sin just by yourself. You sin because the enemy has schemes against you. Okay? But you can reign over it. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. There's hope for every area in your life. I'm last one. Are you still with me? This may be the most difficult one. All right? And he said to them, it's summarizing all of them. He said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets. What's their nets? It's what they were doing. It's who they are. It's their jobs, their qualifications, their whatever they had in their lives, whatever was important to them, they left their nets. It was the only thing they had to put food on the table was their nets. They left it and they followed him. To allow God to take my life, my marriage, hey, my singleness, okay? Is God in charge of my singleness or me or the devil, okay? My whole life and dreams and take it for his kingdom. Is he allowed to do that? You see, when I look at our church, I see so much brave people. I see people leaving nets in our church. Every month I see new people standing up following God. And it inspires me greatly. And so I want to say, guys, let's keep on being radical about our faith. Amen? Let's keep on being weird. If weird means doing the right thing. Let's keep on being out there with our faith. Right? Outspoken. Jesus changed my life. Yeah, I know you don't like it, but it's the truth. Okay? Let's keep on radically loving without boundaries. Let's go wild for him. Check this out. Revelations 12 verse 11. It gives us actually the key. It says, they have conquered him. That's the evil one. The first him. By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And then that very important part. And they loved not their lives unto death. So the question is this. And we can go to the last slide. Thanks, Steph. Number five, the power to leave my life and follow my heavenly calling. There's a question that's right in front of every one of us, okay? And the question is this. take what you see in your life at the moment, and let me tell you what, everything you have, God has given you. Just make a peace with that. That's the truth. You've got nothing that He did not give you, and you've got nothing that you're not stewarding and that you're going to give an account for. What that means is everything you have belongs to God until we die and leave this earth, right? And then everything you have handled on behalf of God. That includes people in your life, which actually is a very high calling. It means that, for example, I am a steward of my wife. God will come and ask me, how did you love, care for, and deal with the woman I've placed next to you? And He will ask the same for my wife. But the same for stuff, okay? But everything you have is from God. Think about everything you have at this moment. Think about the possibilities with your, or your qualification or what. Are you willing to just take a pen and put a line through it and say, I'll even give all this up for what you have for me? Because that's what He's asking. Are you willing to leave what you can see for your future, for the uncertainty of what He's going to take you through? There's some certainties. I will never leave you nor forsake you. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Where can I hide from His presence? Nowhere. Those are certainties and glorious certainties. But there's uncertainties. Lord, are we going to go right or left? We'll see when we get there. Lord, am I going to be in this town forever? God may answer, that's not applicable for now. Leave your net and follow me. That is, I can't put a percentage on that, on the amount of Christians that actually do that. But put yourself in that minority that says, whatever, here am I. There's not a lot. And sometimes I question my own faith on that basis. But let's strive towards being so radical for Jesus. Why? Because He died and rose. And then He said, you're going to be victorious. I don't know what's coming, but let me tell you what, whatever's coming, you're going to beat it. You're going to be victorious. Sometimes there are going to be trials, it's not going to be nice, but you're going to be victorious. Isn't that amazing? But what if my heart breaks? He will fix it. Okay? So we have this uncertain, amazing journey with God that will cost us everything, or we have what we see forever. Okay, and there's something in us, and I know that wants to jump and say, listen, it's too boring to just have what I have and carry on like that for another 50 years. Lord, what do you have for me? Let's go. And that's what I want to invite you to tonight. Let's stand up. Let's stand up tonight.